All right. We just agree together, shall we?
Yes.
In fact, Brother Al, why don't you come and speak a word of blessing?
Amen. Hallelujah. Precious Father, how grateful we are for the longevity of Stag Ministry and the faithfulness that's come behind it. And with all of our hearts tonight and all of us together with one focus, we direct that faith back to you, Brother Veer, tonight. We proclaim our love for you, recognizing the steadfastness of what you have walked in over the years. And we bless you with only the success that God can give in any endeavor. As we bless you for this surgery that is to come, we minister to you tonight and just we call down the power of God to rest upon you at this moment and in the days ahead, not only for the time of surgery, but for the time of recovery, and that it would all work out perfectly in the will of God. We bless you tonight. Amen.
Yeah, you agree together. Amen. Anyone else?
I'd also like to bring to the attention of the family what most of you know about, but some may not. One of the dear members of our family here is looking to make a pretty important step at a young, tender age, and a very important decision, as we maybe can reflect back during that time in our lives ourselves on which college to go to. Amen. And it's a big decision, and I think most of us recognize that. It's can set the course for a lot of things in life, I think. And a lot of things will happen from age 18 to 22, thereabouts, in the college period of time. I know it certainly did for us, and we're going to believe also for Nicole as well. And we'd like to send our faith to her. We'd like to send the blessings of the Lord to her, if we could, in this special time of decision, that she'll have the witness and the confirmation in her, deep within her own spirit, of the choice, of the direction and the leading of God for her life at this very important time. And we ask God's blessings upon her schooling, her education. We ask God's blessing upon her track career. She's quite an avid athlete, track athlete. And we're just believing in every way, Nicole, for God's wisdom and blessings to follow you all the days of your life. That at a young, tender age, you've chosen to seek God, to serve God, and to put Him first in your life. And this is the most important thing. We ask God's ordering of your days and your steps in your life, for your career, for all that you'll give your mind, your hand, your time to, is the gift that God has given you of life. We ask God's blessings on you in every way. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Good, good, good. And Heather is, yes, indeed. We can't, a year and a half behind.
No.
Sorry.
She's a senior.
Oh, forgive me. All right, so she's a senior right now. I've got my numbers and confused here. I'm sorry. But we don't diminish in any way that same prayer of faith. Now for Heather. We've been blessed by Heather's playing of the flute and her instrument. It's terrific. She's got an active, vivid mind. This girl's involved deep in chemistry. And both girls have applied themselves so well. A students, tops in their class, doing so well. And we just speak that there's a unique thing here for you. It's a little bit different than your sister. But you're going to be following the way of the Lord. And we ask God's path to be made so bright, so illuminated for you, you could not err therein. You'll know. You'll know. Amen. We ask God's blessings upon you. Yes, John.
Brother Jeff, as a guy that used to be a teacher, one thing that's for sure, if you don't have a class that is teachable, you can't teach. Okay? It's the same thing that's involved in learning. If you don't have an interest in learning, you can't learn. You wonder why some of the kids in the inner city don't learn, because they have broken homes and everything else. I don't think it's so much that. I don't think they have a deposit of the Lord in their lives. Like
that's right. Amen. That's right. That's right.
So what we do, by faith, we bless you both with a teachable spirit. That you both can take the anointing of God and do things that you would not believe are going to be possible. The Lord is going to anoint you to do that.
Amen.
Okay, as a body, we speak faith to you both.
Yes.
Say, Lord, we bless you with a teachable spirit.
Amen.
Beautiful. Good, good. Thankful that you made the trip out. Mom as well, and great to have you with us. We've got some... Paul, good to see you.
This is our friend Todd.
Right. Hi, Todd. Welcome.
Excellent.
Yeah, I thought you'd been here once before. Good to have you back. Good to see you, Todd. Hello, Jan. It's always a pleasure.
And Connie.
Hi, Connie. Welcome. Oh, welcome, Connie. Welcome. Yeah, pleased to have you with us. Jan, always good to see you, too. Amen. Good. Yes, amen. Well, just ask the Lord's blessing, shall we, on the word here tonight. It'll be richly blessed, and there'll be something we just believe, God, for every one of us here tonight. Something that we can take home with us, something that we can believe, God, for this year as we're stepping into this year, already February. Hard to believe here. But let's look to the Lord, shall we, in faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, we agree here together tonight, Lord, that the flow of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been so evident tonight under your leading, guiding, and directing will continue here, that the vessel will be just but that, to minister a word of life, a word of revelation life, that's straight from the heart of God to our lives, something that will be a source of great encouragement, a great blessing for each life, that each life will have the privilege of coming to know and believe in the great love that you have for us, and this great hour of your kingdom dawning in the earth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Over the last couple of months here from this stage, much has been coming to our lives on the relationship of the believer to our Lord Jesus Christ, on the hearing of our receptive ears to what the Spirit is speaking, and certainly of a heart to follow on and to know the Lord. Tonight's message I've entitled The Tabernacle of David and the Return of His Presence. Hallelujah. You know, we're living in the time now of the great heralding of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's a person in this room probably that wouldn't say, you know, by golly, if there ever was a time when we needed the Lord's return, it's probably now, things being what they are in the earth today. But aren't we all sensing that there is a witness of our spirits that the Lord Jesus Christ is stirring, is moving upon us to have more of an openness to Him, and as we learned this morning, more of a drive to know Him, that there be none of the flesh of our lives that could stand in His presence, certainly, but as we move into this great glorious day of the kingdom, it's not about our kingdom, it's about His kingdom and who He is as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we being but the servants, the vessels, the channels, if you will, of God's great glory coming forth in an earthen vessel. We've heard a lot of talk, haven't we, about the tabernacling of the Lord, and certainly the restoration of the spirit of tabernacles is a part of all that. But the tabernacling of the Lord, the presence of the Lord returning to the earth, and might I say that it's not just within one man in the great glorification and the return of Christ to the earth, but it will be in a glorification of His remnant, of His body. For is He not making a people prepared in this hour? Is He not making a bride that can participate with Him in a oneness of the marriage supper of the Lamb, to share with Him in all the glories of the Father? Amen. Yes, certainly it is His will and His plan for that to take place. And of course, a people of receptivity now is coming in the earth. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at those folks right now. But it's not limited to us. It'll come from every nation, from every tribe, from every language, from every tongue, as we sang here in this first song, Let Us Dance Before the Lord, that every tribe, every kindred, every nation shall be touched by the presence and the power of the return of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the great glorification of the witness shall come through a people that He's preparing now. These days are so very, very important. We're going to find ourselves this evening going back in and looking at a very obscure passage of Scripture. Once again, in the book of Amos. A little bit unusual. So we're going to find ourselves in the book of Amos. We're going to find ourselves also in the book of Samuel. We've been into that book quite a bit as well. And we're going to find ourselves spending a little bit more time this evening there. We'll touch on a book, a chapter of Isaiah. Don, I think it was 63 or 61 we spoke about. 63. Well, we're going to be a little bit before that. We're going to be in chapter 61 tonight. But still, nevertheless, in the great chapters of Isaiah, speaks so eloquently about the kingdom of God. And those will be, of course, the key scriptures. We'll also touch upon Acts chapter 15 as well. I'd like you first to turn with me, if you could, to Amos chapter 9. And we're going to cut in at verse 11, please. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. And we're speaking tonight about the return of the presence of the Lord and this great tabernacle of David. In that day I will restore David's fallen temple. Sorry, also his tabernacle or tent in some versions. So David's fallen tabernacle, David's fallen tent are all synonymous. And you'll see those throughout different passages. And I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be. So that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that may bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. Amos saw the day of reality, the day of liberty, and the day of his presence that we're living in now. A day when all the nations of the earth and all the Gentiles of the nations shall come to know him. It's a great day, dear ones, of inclusion in this hour. And that's one of the key points that I want to communicate by this passage of Scripture. This great day of his presence is a day not of excluding people, but it's a day of including. Come one, come all, and come just as you are. This cry also took place in Christ when he said in Luke chapter 14, just a note, you go back and read it later. Remember the parable of how he said, make my banqueting table full. Bring in the people. Well, the people that were called, the people that were chosen, I've got a family, I just got married, I've got a business, this, that. Well, go to the highways and to the byways and call the people. The great message now of the kingdom of God will be a message not only of inclusion, but behold, the Lamb cometh, and he cometh to set thee free. Amen. So this great cry of Amos here, which comes forth, is really a cry for the age that is coming, for a people to come alive from all nations to be responding to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is returning to the earth. I think all of us believe that. The kingdom of God is coming, and the worship and the rejoicing, as we're going to look at in Samuel, like David, gives us a picture of how our hearts should be responding to the return of the presence of the Lord. And we're going to take a closer look as we conclude the message of David's responses to the return of God's presence in his hour. All right. Let us continue on with verse 13, please. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exile people, Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, saith the Lord. These days are also going to be characterized by an accelerated process of spiritual growth. We know that in the end time, Isaiah talks about the double portion of spirit that shall rest upon men's lives. And he also talks about the restoration of the priesthood. Two things which we're going to hear a lot more about, I feel, as time moves on. For it's the restoration of the priesthood ministry. Mark that closely. And this royal priesthood that comes forth in this hour that will become the teaching priests that shall lead many into the ways of righteousness. It was the fault of the priests that really led God's judgment. The priests became vile. The priests became they gave way to the things of the world rather than to the things of God. And God had to finally bring judgment on the nation of Israel because of the iniquity of the priesthood. So in this hour, we're going to see a restoration of the purity and the perfection of the priesthood ministry that shall bring many to the ways of
righteousness.
Thank you. Right. All right. Mark that clearly. All right. So accelerated growth. This is typified by how can the reaper be overtaken by the plowman? Here you are reaping, and the plowman's coming by to reap you, to reap. Well, this accelerated process of growth that Amos saw is when the tabernacle of David is being built again. Because the tabernacle of David, as we're going to see a little bit later here, is one of inclusion. The tabernacle of David is for one and for all, male and female. There's no exclusion like the tabernacle was of old, where they excluded the foreigners. They excluded the Gentiles. They excluded and they kept outside of those privileged areas, all except for the Jewish priesthood. Well, the royal priesthood is replacing that. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God. And we're all going to be able to stand where? In the Holy of Holies, in the living presence of God Almighty. Amen. Okay, because while we're sowing seed, it's going to be springing up so fast that the harvest is going to take place almost simultaneously. This is what we can look forward to in the great vision of Amos, partially fulfilled in that hour, but will be fulfilled as the restoration of the tabernacle of David in our time is now being established. Okay. Let's support this, if we could, by turning to Isaiah chapter 61, please. Setting a little bit of foundation here for us before we take a further look at the chapters in Samuel, which we'll be concluding with. So Isaiah 61, please. And that'll be verse 4. And my people will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that has been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named as ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Amen. Restoration, the priesthood ministry, the double portion of spirit and everlasting joy is to be ours. This is the restoration process. This is the results of the restoration that the remnant will manifest in this hour. And these are the things we should be looking for to happen in our midst. For surely the Lord is preparing us to be the instruments of his will in the earth. All right, supporting scriptures for us. And much you'll be hearing more about this as time goes on. The book of Amos, that chapter that we were just in, chapter 9, is picked up, as he described the tabernacle of David, one other place. And I'd like to refer you to that place right now. It happens to be in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And if we turn there quickly, this was when... You'll recall the story of the council in Jerusalem, verse 16 through 18. The verses from Amos 9 through 12 are quoted almost verbatim by James, the Apostle James. And this was when Paul and Barnabas had come back. This is Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas had come back and had reported to the council in Jerusalem of, wow, the Gentiles have also received the message of the gospel, of the kingdom. And they've also received the deposit of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, as we're speaking, the Holy Spirit is falling on people and men's lives. Surely we can't exclude them from the things of God in this hour. And there was a big hubbub. Peter spoke that the Gentiles must be circumcised. Some of the believers, this is verse 5, some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Sadducees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised And they must be required to obey the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses. Circumcision. The law. The apostles and the elders met to consider their questions. And after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know, some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. Verse 8, God, who knows the hearts, shows that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between them and us. He purified their hearts by faith. And it goes on. So they decided that, hey, and then Peter, James spoke up in verse 13. When they finished, James spoke up, said, brothers, listen to me. Simon, Peter, has described to you how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, and he quotes directly from Amos. And this, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent, or David's tabernacle. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, saith the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. It's interesting that James himself, in the midst of this conflict, well, gee, should we ask the Gentiles to be circumcised and described and follow all the laws of Moses and the religiosity of this time? No. The new tabernacle of David is an inclusive thing that is not a religious thing. It is not a religious thing. It is the presence of the Lord returning where men can come just as they are with faith, believing for God's will to be done in their life, and they're going to walk in all the inheritance of the fullness of the promises by faith. The just shall live by faith. The great voicing of Martin Luther 500 years ago came out of all this, that the freedom of the liberty of the sons of God shall be for those that walk by faith in this hour. So this great tabernacle and the return of God's presence is such an all-inclusive thing. And it's a return of God's presence to the lives and the hearts of men. I'd like to take us back now and look to the origin of how the tabernacle of David came into being. And that, dear ones, we're going to find in Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Thank you. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, by way of, shall we say, some enjoyable reading, chapter 7 is beautiful, and perhaps later I know you would enjoy reading chapter 7. I'm going to just pick up a verse out of chapter 6 and then touch upon a few things in chapter 7, and then we're going to come back to take a closer look at this tabernacle of David and what this means, because it certainly is not a religious thing. It certainly is a tremendously spiritual thing. And I want to take a close look at how David responded to the return of the tabernacle to Jerusalem. Picking up, if we could, in verse 17. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. This is the first mention of the tabernacle of David. And I want to point you now to chapter 7 and taking a look at verse 11. And this is Nathan's prayer, actually Nathan's revelation back to David of the word that Nathan had for David. And picking it up in verse 11 of 7. And have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. Sorry, verse 11. The Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will establish a house for you, David. For your days are over, when your days are over, and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he will be my son. Amen. Now, it's true that this was fulfilled in Solomon. And by and large, the religious world of not only the Jews, but many, have followed the course of the building of the temple under Solomon. But I say to you today that the establishment of the eternal kingdom that came through the line of David is the Christ the Lord, and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. The tabernacle in the temple of Solomon was one thing. There was no doubt a blessing on it. But the greater fulfillment of the revelation is the establishment of the eternal kingdom of God through the lineage of David. We know David in the line of Jesus Christ was pointing to the establishment of God's eternal kingdom through the lordship of Jesus Christ. So my message to you tonight is it's the establishment of the kingdom of God through the lineage and the line of David that represents the purity of this tabernacle of David, for it's the return of his presence to the earth. Now think upon that very, very closely. All right. Now let's move forward further into chapter 7 and take a look at David's response, picking up chapter 7 in verse 27. O Lord God Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer your prayer, you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever and ever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Yes, there is a blessing on the house of David forever. For the genealogy of the spirit and the lineage of David is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say tonight that the establishment of the eternal kingdom, according to the tabernacle of David, rests upon the establishment of the glorification of the eternal one, the Lord Jesus Christ in all of creation. Amen. All right, I'm going to conclude this word now by taking a look, if we could, in chapter 6 and taking a closer look at David's responses. And I do this because it's my deep belief that as we move deeper into this year, our responses to the Lord and to the return of his presence to the earth and the establishment of his kingdom is based upon responses of our lives, of coming alive to him, and really going after the Lord with all of our lives. And I'd like to bring out poignantly, hopefully here, of how David responded to the return of the tabernacle, of the return of the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle that he had set up in Jerusalem. Because I think it poses some interesting analysis for us as to what our responses should be to the return of the presence of the Lord and the return of the establishment of the almighty kingdom of God in the earth. Does that make sense? David was a man after God's own heart. So I think it's important for us to look at his responses. I think we can learn a few things from his responses. Picking it up, 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. Now, King David was told the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. The first thing that I'd like to share with you is, as the return of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth, there'll be great rejoicing. And that principle I'd like to see established deeply in the heart of the body of Jesus Christ in this hour. As God's eternal kingdom that comes through the lineage and the line of David is restored, which is really the presence of the Lord forever reigning over men's lives, the response that David had to the return of God's presence, of the rejoicing in his heart, is number one. May there be the deep, deep rejoicing in our lives before the Lord, to be privileged to see these days that your eyes have been able to see and to hear these days, and that you'll be able to walk in these days. For I tell you truthfully, these days are the springboard for the greatest days that the world has ever seen. The kingdom of God is coming on the earth, and we are but just the heralders of it. We're beginning to feel the cracks of heaven, of his presence dawning in the earth. We are but the heralders of the greatest period of time, this 1,000 years reigning of Jesus Christ in the earth. We're the heralders of his return. It must be filled, as David, with
rejoicing.
Yes, rejoicing. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Coming alive to rejoicing in his presence. Let's read a little bit further. What else was how David was responding? When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might.